You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farad. Early last week, two African-American shoppers were killed in an apparent hate crime in Kentucky. One witness said the alleged shooter told him he wouldn't shoot him because, quote, whites don't shoot whites, end quote. Then news broke that nearly 14 explosive devices had been sent to prominent Democrats and their supporters, including former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. And on Saturday, 11 people were killed, six more injured, when an attacker opened fire at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. Before the attack, the perpetrator had posted on the social media site Gab, threatening a Jewish humanitarian group aiding refugees. Our next guest is here to talk about the events of the last week and whether political and extremist violence is on the rise in the United States. Brian Levin is a professor of criminal justice and director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino. Brian, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me. I always enjoy being on your show. Thank you so much.
And Brian, I just listed those three events, horrible events, over the last week. Is it fair to talk about them together? Do you see these as isolated incidents or part of some wider phenomenon, wider trend we're seeing?
Oh, no, I think there's a wider trend. And just breaking news today that there was a standoff involving an anti-government critic that just ended. So it's almost like an increasing stream of this kind of stuff that's going on. Certainly in the last week, it's been just almost unprecedented.
Now, there are a lot of people, regardless of their political persuasion, angry about what's happening in the United States or the world. The vast majority of them, of course, don't act violently on their frustration. What is it? Do we know what it is that drives people to take that step and turn toward violent actions, a threat, a mailed pipe bomb, a shooting?
That is such a great question. And we have more foundational, incremental kind of changes, but then we also have catalytic events that kind of can stir people up. Can I give you an example?
Sure.
November 2016, election month, was the worst month for hate crime going back to the first anniversary of 9/11. And that's something that my colleagues, Jim Nolan, Kevin Grisham, and John Reitzel found with me when we were studying and disaggregating FBI data. So we've also found the day after Election Day, we had an anti-Muslim bomb plot, in Kansas. And the day after Election Day, November 10th, 2016, was the worst day for hate crime going back to June 2003. So we're starting to see some kind of seasonality a bit with hate crime around catalytic events. And these events can include anything from a terror attack to a police use of force or a conflictual election.
I want to focus in particular to this weekend's shootings at a synagogue in Pittsburgh. This happens amid a backdrop, if I'm reading the statistics right, of a big increase in anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish hate incidents. Can you talk about that, Brian?
Yeah, sure. We actually have seen a decline over the past 10 years. If you look at 2008, for instance, we had over 1,000 anti-Semitic hate crimes in the United States. 2016 marked a year where we saw some back-to-back increases. Anti-Semitic hate crimes, according to the FBI, bottomed in 2014 and then went from the low 600s to the high 600s, to 684. Since then, the Anti-Defamation League has found a 57% increase in hate incidents. These include both hate crimes, but most of them are non-criminal incidents. Interestingly enough, within this rise, they saw a decline in assaults, which is good news. Here's what I think's going on. If you look with respect to anti-Semitism, Jews are the most warmly regarded faith group in the United States. Yet we saw some increases in hate crime. One other thing, we've seen an increase in anti-Semitic content on the darkest corners of the web. Andrew Thompson did some great research on 4chan, which we've been fortunate enough to use. So it depends on what you're looking at. But the bottom line is, I think we have several things, and just bear with me with specific regard to the anti-Semitism. Over the past 50 years, we have a decline in confidence in the communal institutions which held us together, and this kind of anti-elitism wave which is coming in. At the same time, we see breathtaking demographic changes in the United States. White Christians are no longer a majority. And then we have, in addition, these catalytic events of which I spoke and the emergence of white nationalism. One last thing. I am not calling the president a racist or anything like that. I will leave others to analyze that. But here's what I do know has happened. For the first time in decades, white nationalists have found someone that they believe is speaking their message. And we've seen increased activity by these people, whether it's public demonstrations, which have then ebbed and flowed a little bit post-Charlottesville. But we've seen a fragmentation of these hate groups. So that hornet's nest is broken, but these lone wolf hornets are flying around, and they're directed by this horrible bigotry that can be found increasingly in our incivil political discourse.
Talking to Brian Levin from the Center for Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University San Bernardino about recent acts of political violence. Brian, talk a little more about the internet. We hear talk of people being radicalized by ISIS on the internet when it comes to extremist domestic violence, domestic terrorism here in the United States. Do you see an analogy there?
I really do. The only thing I would say is, one of the things that everyone has to understand about extremism, you're most likely to have an extremist act who lives kind of where you live. So, I asked Gary LaFrie, who's head of the University of Maryland's terrorism program, the Global Terrorism Database, and I said, what are some things that you've noticed? And what he told me is he said, people are acting in their region where they live. So that's something. And I think what we've seen with the internet, just like with our socio-political landscape, has been a change. And that is this fragmentation. So not only has the organization of these hate groups changed, where they're becoming leaner and meaner, and sometimes really more loners who are less joiners of hate groups than followers of their message. And as we have this fragmentation, the risk increasingly from these loners or small groups that are increasingly violent, we've seen an escalation in violence in recent weeks, that's a very dangerous conundrum, and it's very similar to what we've seen with, for instance, Daesh. When Al-Qaeda, when bin Laden was killed, he was upset that these kind of like loners who were inspired but not trained were taking the helm. And I think we're kind of seeing that here in the United States with regard to the most ascendant form of extremism right now, which is far right wing, but we're seeing a rising tide that is lifting many ships, but the most ascendant is the far right wing, and the loners, duos, or small autonomous cells within those groups are ones we have to look at as well.
Talking to Brian Levin right now, professor of criminal justice and director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino. He's with us to talk about the apparent rise in political violence lately in the United States and what might be behind it and how to turn it around. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on the events over the last week, the pipe bomb mailings, the shootings, apparently hate motivated in Kentucky, and of course at the synagogue in Pittsburgh over the weekend? What steps do you think we should take to prevent this kind of violence? What do you want to hear from leaders, political and otherwise? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation about an apparent rise in political violence and extremism in the United States. Brian Levin is with us, professor of criminal justice and director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your reactions to the events over the last week, your questions for our guest. Call in at 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Brian, before we go to our callers, we have such a small sample size, in effect, for people who turn to this kind of political violence. Do we know, are there things out there that can turn down the temperature, prevent these kind of attacks before they happen?
You know, that's a great question. The more what we found, at least with our study of hate crime, for instance, some events are going to just generate hateful violence. So, for instance, after a terror attack, or if there's some kind of conflictual event in society, we can often see these spikes. But here's the interesting thing. In some but not all circumstances, and just bear with me on this, some but not all circumstances, we've seen an increase in hate crime, for instance, after divisive political rhetoric, particularly by leaders, is well publicized. So give you an example, just real quick. When candidate Trump launched his campaign and made those derisive comments about Mexicans, believe it or not, hate crimes in the next week against against Latino Americans actually went down. And similarly, a Republican debate in Detroit, when there were some off-the-cuff, not sustained, but not very pleasant comments about Muslims, hate crimes against Muslims didn't go up. However, when the Syrian refugee issue came up and was hitting the airwaves, there was an increase. And then when candidate Trump, who by then was already nearing front-runner status, held a town hall that was covered nationally in New Hampshire, hate crimes against Muslims did go up. Similarly, when he proposed his first Muslim ban 5 days after the San Bernardino terrorist attacks, hate crimes against Muslims spiked above and beyond the spike that we saw from the terror attacks. Conversely and lastly, when President Bush spoke of tolerance 6 days after 9/11, hate crimes dropped by two-thirds the next day and two-thirds in the following year. And then with regard to Latinos, which we spoke about earlier, we saw double-digit percentage increases not in 2015 with the campaign launch, but in 2016. And anti-Muslim hate crimes in that time of this political season, from, let's say, 2014 to 2016, hate crimes against Muslims in the United States, according to the FBI, went up 99%.
I want to turn to a caller now. Jim joins us in Slinger. Jim, hello.
Hello. Hey, I think your guest is full of garbage. He's just trying to raise this narrative how the right, just after only a few little incidents, this whole bomb-making incident on the DNC, it's completely ridiculous. Those bombs weren't even meant to go off. We don't even know the mental state of this guy. A few little incidents that happened, and here's your guest trying to equate the conservative right to, like, ISIS.
Jim, thanks for the call. Brian, what do we know about statistics of attacks in the United States by different sources, left, right, or Muslim extremist Islam-inspired?
Well, opinions are great, but facts are better. And one of the things that we've seen, by the way, let me just say, we have seen instances of threats and violence involving the left. There are well over 100 threats against the president on various platforms like Twitter, for instance. So he's right with that respect. There was a firebombing of a truck a couple of weeks ago up in the Pacific Northwest and a shooting at a Republican political establishment. But nevertheless, if you look at a whole sorts of data from the Global Terrorism Database or the accounting office with respect to the federal government, as well as our internal data, what we have found is far right, and I'm not talking about conservative people of goodwill, and I'm glad he pointed that out, but far-right extremism is ascendant, and there have been more events involving far-right extremists by a long shot than the left in recent years. But here's an important point. As one type of extremism goes up, a retaliatory or antagonistic type of extremism, which will oftentimes be imitative and escalative, will join it. But right now, there's no expert in our field who would suggest that far-right wing extremism is not occurring in greater numbers than with respect to left wing.
Thanks for that call. I'll go next to Willem in Colfax. Willem, hi.
Hi. I think the last caller is kind of a clear example in a way of how, at what level the supporters of Donald Trump are willing to excuse these acts. Like sending, what, fake bombs is okay? I mean, and that's not even clear whether they were fake bombs. The man from the FBI said these were not a hoax. And the president has called for violence on many occasions. Carry him out. In the old days, we used to carry him out in the stretcher, you know, knock him out. I'll cover your legal bills, calling his opponents evil, bad people, enemies of the people. I mean, his rhetoric is clear on this issue. David Duke said he's our president. When the horrible events in Charlottesburg, he said there were good people on both sides. I don't think there is such a thing as a good Nazi. I'm sorry.
Willem, thanks for the call. Brian, are there things you'd want to hear from this president or any president after attacks like the ones in Pittsburgh and these pipe bombs?
Yes, I'd like to see the rhetoric toned down and a sustained disassociation from these hate groups and hate movements. Look, Bob Dole, Ronald Reagan, John McCain, all these folks decried prejudice. The traditional Republican Party did not have the kind of support that the alt-right and far-right hate world has given to President Trump. I want to be clear here. I am not saying that he's a bigot. That's for others to analyze. But what I am saying is the one thing that this movement lacked was a consistent message that was sociopolitically acceptable in some degree that would have been parroted by a mainstream leading political candidate. And we really haven't seen anything like that since the 1968 election when George Wallace carried five states and got 44 electoral votes. The bottom line is we have an offender who sent bombs to numerous people that were listed as enemies of the president, and we also had an attack on a synagogue, the worst terrorist attack against Jews in American history, by someone who combined his disdain for Jews with his political and racist opinions about Latinos.
And we'll leave it there. We're out of time. Thanks to Brian Levin, professor of criminal justice and director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino.